I invite you to open your Bibles this evening to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. It begins with these words, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Isn't that a marvelous passage and a marvelous thought? That God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's comforting to us to know that God is there for us whenever we're in need, whenever we're going through a difficult time, that He is there. He is a very present help in any trial. When we're troubled or worried, this psalm, among others, gives us encouragement and reassurance to help us get on the task of living our lives. But I want to ask you something. What about those extremely difficult times when it seems that our prayers seem to hit the ceiling and don't go any further? What about those times when we are praying for something specific in our lives and it seems that, God is silent, that He is distant? What do we do then? Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Many of you have read books or heard of this author by the name of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis married Joy, and they'd been married only 4 years when his wife died of cancer. The Lewises were very much in love, and Joy's death was almost too much for C.S. Lewis to bear. And so he did something that he knew to do, that he knew how to do, and that was he wrote. He kept a journal of things he was experiencing day in and day out as he struggled with the loss of his wife and his faith in God. And all of his thoughts were put together and compiled and published under the title, A Grief Observed. And so he was dealing with his untimely death of his wife, struggling as to how this related to his faith in God. And in this book, he discusses those very things. But let me show you some words from his book early on in the book, and we'll look at some words later in the book at the end of the lesson. But notice his struggle. Where is God, he asks. When you're happy, so happy you have no sense of needing Him, so happy that you are tempted to feel His claims upon you as an interruption, if you remember yourself and turn to Him with gratitude and praise, you will be, or so it feels, welcomed with open arms. But to go to Him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain, and what do you find? A door slammed in your face and the sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. You may as well turn away. The longer you wait, the more emphatic the silence will become. What can this mean, he asks. Why is God so present a commander in our time of prosperity and so very absent a help in times of trouble? They sound like very faithless, harsh words. But we must understand that C.S. Lewis was in a deep despair, struggling with the loss of his wife and how that connected with his faith in God. Just when Lewis needed God most, he felt like God had abandoned him. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And these are supposed to be words of assurance. The psalmist is saying God is with us. And they are reassuring when we feel the divine presence. When things are going well, we often are ready to affirm the truths of these passages. Yes, I know that God is a refuge and strength, and He is present with me. But yet we will face those times, and many of you have already, when you may wonder, is God present? When we may be in moments of deep despair, we call out in agony, and it seems, as I said earlier, our prayers seem to hit the ceiling. and they don't go any further. What do we do in those situations? What do we do when God seems silent? I want us to take a closer look at Psalm 46. Let me give you some background. And sometimes in our Bibles and sometimes in when biblical scholars do their research, they're able to decide about the context, historical context in which a psalm is written. And there's been some debate about what was happening when Psalm 46 was written. But many believe that the historical context here is when Jerusalem was spared from the Assyrians in 701 B.C. We can read about that in 2 Kings 18 and 19, Isaiah 36 and 37. Let me refresh your memories about that historical context, if indeed that is what was happening when this psalm was written. The Assyrians at that time were a world power. They essentially took over the Middle East. Nation after nation fell before them. The northern kingdom of Israel had already fallen in 722 B.C. to the Assyrians. The next major world power at that time to be conquered by them was Egypt. And between the northern kingdom of Israel and Egypt was the southern kingdom of Judah. Sennacherib and his Assyrian army, numbering more than 200,000, destroyed 46 Judean cities. And basically they send word to King Hezekiah in Jerusalem, you're next. So here comes this vast, powerful army, and they encamp around Jerusalem. And I want you to imagine yourself being from Judah, living in Jerusalem, peering out over the walls of Jerusalem and seeing this vast army surrounding you. Imagine the fear in the hearts of the people as they view this vast army, knowing their record of success. In their minds, most likely, there was no hope. We're done for. That night, however, God stepped in. A terrible plague struck the Assyrians. The next morning, as they peered over those same walls, they saw 185,000 corpses laying on the ground. Sennacherib quickly left with the rest of his army. Many scholars believe that it was in that setting that the psalmist wrote, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. As we relate to that historical context, and as we apply the message to today, I don't think it's very difficult for us to look around over the walls of our city, if you will, to see some things going on that disturb us in the world today. Wars, the economy, political situations, moral decay in our society. And perhaps as we peer over the walls, we, like the people of Jerusalem, feel like, well, is there any hope? But I'm not going to ask you to look out into society. Some of us don't have to look far. We can look in our own world and see struggles within our families, our finances, our health, the loss of loved ones, many storms in our own lives. So I want to personalize this message. What do you do when your world comes apart? What does the psalmist tell us? He tells us, find refuge in God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If that situation in Jerusalem with the Assyrian army surrounding them is the historical context for this psalm, imagine living in that city, looking over those walls, the walls that they had trusted for their safety and for their security, and they're realizing these walls aren't going to keep that army away. And they were profoundly reminded that it was not their walls, it was God who was their only refuge. And we learn the same lesson in the circumstances of life that we face. Our refuge is not in our good health. It's not in our jobs. It's not in our relationships with people, because any and every one of these can be stripped away from us, and suddenly we stand there defenseless. And we're forced to recognize our one source of security is in God. God is our refuge and our strength. As you examine the psalm, you see some reasons why the psalmist is able to say, and encouraging us to take hold of, the reasons why God is our refuge, and really only God. Number one, because of His person, because of who He is. God is the Hebrew word Elohim. It means the mighty one, the great one, the powerful one. And it speaks to all that God has done in the past and all that He will do in the future. God is our refuge because He is the Lord God Almighty. In fact, in verses 7 and 11 of our text, the phrase is given, "The Lord of hosts is with us." It's translated in another version, "The Lord Almighty is with us." The Lord of hosts. Hosts often refers to armies. The Lord of hosts referring to the Lord of His heavenly armies. And it indicates, it reminds us that God is in control and He is all powerful. Therefore, He is our refuge and our strength. He's also our refuge because of His protection. Notice two words that are used. First one is refuge. It's a hiding place, a secure place, a shelter. Literally, it means a place of trust. I think about a storm. I think about West Texas in times of storm and how my grandmother had a cellar in her backyard. Of course, we always like to check it out and kill all the spiders as we saw them. But I think about, and we're familiar with tornadoes and what the devastation they can cause. But seeking shelter and finding a safe place when the storms are raging around us. That's the idea of a refuge. And we sing about this, "The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm." Deuteronomy 33 verse 27, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Our refuge is in God because of His protection. The psalmist would also say, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in You. And in the shadow of Your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by." Brother Elbert, I think that may be the context, the background of the song, "Till the Storm Passes Over." Until these calamities have passed by, I will take my refuge in the shadow of Your wings. That's the word refuge. Notice the word strength. The idea of refuge is a safe place, a place of trust, a secure place. But strength is that offensive protection. It's what enables us to keep on living and to face whatever storm, whatever challenge it may be. God is our refuge and our strength. The psalmist would say, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." But He is the one that we look to for our refuge also because of His presence. And I love this statement. God is a very present help in trouble. God is a very present help in trouble. The original Hebrew word for trouble is plural. God is a very present help in troubles, because they're often in the plural, aren't they? And it means the tight places, the restricted places. We use the phrase between a rock and a hard place, and many times we can identify with that. But the psalmist is saying he's a very present help in those tight situations when we feel like we're pressed in. And very present means ever present, and it speaks to the availability of God, that he's always present, and the sufficiency of God, that he's a very present help in times of trouble. But notice, secondly, as we continue to study this psalm and what we do when our world comes apart, notice what the psalmist says occurs when we find our refuge in God. Number one, we don't despair. We don't despair. To despair means to lose all hope, by definition. To be overcome by a sense of futility or defeat. It means to give up. We're overwhelmed. We don't see a way out. We feel defeated. When God is our refuge, we don't despair. Notice the words of the psalmist again. Therefore, verse 2, we will not fear. Very poetic language is used here. Even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. I want to highlight a couple of things out of those words. Things that we think of as being immovable, like the earth. The terra firma, the firm earth. And the mountains, we look at the mountains and they seem to be permanent. Lord willing, one day I'd love to go see the Rocky Mountains, and some of you have even lived in the Rockies. When I see pictures, I see those majestic mountains, and yes, I think of permanence and who could move that mountain. But the psalmist is, in very descriptive language, is saying, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried, picked up and carried and dropped into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, we will not fear. These are catastrophic descriptions, aren't they? And sometimes perhaps we can relate to those catastrophic descriptions, and it seems like our world is shaking and everything's in disarray and it's falling apart. But the psalmist, because his refuge is in God, is able to say, we will not fear. One writer suggested security is not the absence of trouble, but the confidence and courage we have in the midst of trouble. And this comes from faith in God. Another way of stating it, security or peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. When we find our refuge in God, we don't despair. Number two, we have hope. Underscore this passage in verse 4. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. There's a great transition between verses 2 and 3 and verse 4. Verses 2 and 3 describe, again, those catastrophic descriptions of calamity. Everything's in upheaval, mountains being moved and carried out into the midst of the sea, the mountains quaking. But verse 4 is a very huge change in atmosphere. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. It's a peaceful scene in verse 4. God's favor is denoted by a river here. Similarly, in Psalm 36, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. So the idea of the river here denotes God's blessings. And the psalmist is saying, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. We can think of Jerusalem here. And again, back to that context when the Assyrian army is surrounding them, about to overtake them. God's river flows through, if you will, and protects them and blesses them. But it points to heaven, the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And you may remember in Revelation 22, verse 1, it talks about a river. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And it speaks again to God's blessing, His eternal blessing in His heavenly city. And these are words of hope. Words of hope. While you may be going through the storm right now, while there may be your enemy surrounding you and making things incredibly difficult for you, the psalmist is taking the long look. There is a city. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. He continues, verse 5. God is in the midst of her, that is this city. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. I think about those people in Jerusalem as the Assyrian army is surrounding them. Imagine looking over the walls at night and seeing the campfire of these 200,000 plus members of the Assyrian army. And you try to go to sleep that night, but you can't, because you know what's going to happen the next day if this army is allowed to attack your city. So it's a sleepless night, and you rise up just at the break of dawn. But now as you look out, you don't see an army about to attack. You see an army that's been profoundly defeated by an all-powerful God. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. These are words of hope. The hope that we can have when we find our refuge in God. Another thing we learned is when we find our refuge in God, we shall be victorious. The rest of the verses of this psalm speak to that victory. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. And it's speaking of God's power over the nations. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And there's a different word for refuge here. Whereas the first word was that place of trust, that place of security, the word here in verses 7 and 11 that's translated refuge here in the New King James Version has the idea of a cliff or other lofty or inaccessible place. A refuge, a high fort or tower, a fortress, a stronghold, a high place, an inaccessible place, a place of safety, where the enemy cannot reach you. Verses 8 and 9. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Here's an Israelite looking down from the wall at the Assyrian camp after it had been visited by the Lord. And he sees the victory that's been provided by him. It's a reminder to us that one day God will end all wars. Wars among nations, wars among, in estranged relationships, wars against evil, wars against difficult circumstances, even the war that rages within ourselves. If we find our refuge in God, we will be victorious. But let's go back to the question that we asked earlier. What about in those times when we don't sense God's presence? Why is it that God sometimes seems silent? And what do? Let's go back to C.S. Lewis as he's grieving over the loss of his wife and wondering, how does God fit into this picture? Towards the end of the book, he makes another statement. He says, I've gradually been coming to feel that the door is no longer shut and bolted. Was it my own frantic need that slammed it in my face? The time when nothing at all is in your soul except a cry for help may be just the time when God can't give it. You're like the drowning man who can't be helped because he clutches and grabs. Perhaps your own reiterated cries deafen you to the voice you hope to hear. Perhaps Lewis is right. Perhaps when we are overwhelmed with anxiety or grief, in this anxiety and grief, there's so much noise that it drowns God out, if you will. What can we do to recover a sense of God's presence when we feel abandoned and alone? Based upon Psalm 46, here's a suggestion. We can make the choice to trust God even when He seems silent. There's a Jewish theologian, Abraham Heschel, that said the way to faith is the way of faith. The way to faith, the way to deepening your faith is to have faith. That may sound like a wheel that keeps turning. But let me give you an illustration. During the 30s and 40s, more than 6 million Jews were killed in concentration camps. And those who survived the Holocaust witnessed countless atrocities. Many were tortured and left to starve to death. When the concentration camp in Auschwitz was liberated by Allied troops at the end of World War II, the following words were found written on one of the walls inside the compound. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I'm alone. I believe in God, even when He is silent. In the midst of immense suffering, the woman or man who wrote these words held on to that faith in God, even when God seemed silent. You see, holding on to our faith in the midst of grief or despair can help lead us to a place of quiet where we can once again sense His presence and His care. Listen again to the words of the psalm. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her, New American Standard states it, when morning dawns. God will help her when morning dawns. So what do we do during the night? During the night when it's difficult, during the night when we can't sleep, during the night when the anxieties weigh heavy on our hearts, what do? We keep trusting, even when God seems silent. And we're assured He'll help when morning comes. To make God our refuge, we see in this psalm, we must be still. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. New American Standard has it, cease striving. And literally what the Hebrew means there is to let the hands hang down. When we're going through a difficult time, we find ourselves wanting to use our hands to stay busy, to work and to do, trying to make things better. And the psalmist is saying, be still, let your hands hang down and know that I am God. At other times we have our hands up ready to fight and again to try to, with our own might, try to make things better. Let your hands hang down and know that I am God. Sometimes we wring our hands and say, what are we going to do? Let your hands hang down and know that I'm God. Sometimes we throw up our hands and we say, there's no hope. God says, let your hands hang down and know that I am God. You see, it's not that God is silent. Sometimes God is found in the stillness. God does not leave us when the going gets tough. God does not abandon us when we experience the darkness of despair. The psalmist is reminding us, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So in the words of David Roper, be still and know that God loves you and that He cares for you and that God can and will bless your life. And ultimately, in the end, He will give you the victory. If we'll put our refuge, find our refuge in God. Have you placed your faith and trust in God? Have you done that to the point where you've committed your life to serving Him? If not, if you need to obey the gospel this evening, please don't let another night pass without putting Jesus on in baptism. It may be that you're going through some struggle and you have your hands up, ringing in despair, fighting, struggling, and you need the prayers of the church on your behalf. Won't you let that be known as well? Let us pray with you and for you. If you have a need to come, please do so right now as we stand and sing.